I'm sure you've seen on the news where the government's talking about a stimulus package, and it's been on the news a lot, and they're talking about spending money to stimulate the economy, spending lots of money. And they call some of this money bailout money. And as with any government policy, some people are for it and some people are against it. That's just politics. And I'm not trying to make a political statement here, either for or against it. But I saw it on the news the other day. And what I saw was they were talking about some people that didn't like it. And what they didn't like was where they were trying to give money to help people defaulting on their loans. And some people didn't like it, they said, because they felt like it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair because they didn't get any of the money. And that's usually the case whenever you're talking about handing out money. Some people are not going to like it because they didn't get any. Some people are going to like it based on how much they got. But they felt like it wasn't fair. They didn't get any of the bailout money just because they made a different decision, probably a smarter decision. They made a smarter decision and whenever they bought their house. They felt like they were being punished for making the more cautious decision. They said that they didn't go out and buy the bigger house, one they couldn't afford. They stayed within their means, and now they felt like they weren't getting any money because they played by the rules. They played by the rules, and now the rules were being changed on them, and they said it wasn't fair. And I have to agree that it's a bad policy to reward people for making bad decisions. But the thing that I want us to look at, I don't want to consider the government policy and all the troubles and things. Those things are hard decisions to make. But what I want to look at is our attitude towards things. The selfish attitude that we may have sometimes. What kind of attitude should a Christian have towards these things? Towards seeing someone else getting helped. And how many times do we look at things only through a self-centered focus? And so it's the attitude that I want us to consider. And I know these are things that we've heard before. These are all lessons that we know, teachings that we should know of Christ. But these are things that I think we need to, from time to time, reevaluate how well that we ourselves are doing in following these teachings. Not to evaluate someone else, but let everyone evaluate their own self. And I have a report here, Matthew 20, verses 1 through 6. We're not really going to read this, but this is a parable, and it's a parable I think we're familiar with. If you want to, you could read over this as you have time and read through this. We're going to talk about this parable this morning. And it's a parable that addresses a very similar situation here where Jesus is concerned with these people who are saying, it's not fair. It's not fair. And this parable that Jesus taught, the little story that he taught, goes like this. A man goes out to hire some people to work. And he hires these workers, some of them early in the morning, and he makes an agreement with them that he's going to pay them a certain amount to work that day. Now the King James calls it a penny, but it's not a penny like we have today. But they agree for this penny a day. They agree to amount to work. And they go to work. And then later, about 3 hours into the day, he finds some more people who he needs to work. And he brings them on to work. And he tells them that he'll pay them what's fair. And then he brings some more people in at the sixth hour of the day. And then the ninth hour of the day. You see, they're working a long day. All the way to the 11th hour of the day, he finds some more people. They work a 12-hour day. And he finds some more people at the 11th hour. And he brings them in to work 1 hour. And at the end of the day, some have been working for what appears to be 12 hours. At least more than 8. And some have only worked 1 hour. But at the end of the day, he paid each one of them the same. And so the workers who had been there longer said, saw this, how that these others got paid the same thing they got promised, the same thing they got paid, and they said, that's not fair. They didn't like it. It's not fair. And we can look and read it starting with verse 12 to see what they said. Verse 12 of Matthew 20 says, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do you no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for one penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. And I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? It's not fair, they said. You're giving them as much as us. You're making them equal to us, and they've only worked 1 hour. And they think it's not fair. And we do this type of thing often. We'll look and say, well, look, they're getting that, and that's not fair. When what they're getting has nothing to do with what's really fair. You know, that's what they're accusing him here is not fair. But he says, is it not fair? Didn't he have the money? It was his money. He could give it out however he wanted it to. Would it have been more fair if somebody else could come and tell him how to spend his own money? How to give his own money to somebody that's working? We don't know the situation of all these people. And it's not for us to know. Not for us to concern ourselves with. The master of the vineyard had the money, and he could spend the money how he wanted to, and that was fair. And as we'll see, it's not right for us to compare among ourselves. It's not fair. I heard a guy on the radio, he said he always tells his kids, if they say it's not fair, he says it's not fair when we compare. He said he'd tell them that all the time. So every time they would start to say it's not fair, he'd say, go ahead and finish it. It's not fair when we compare. And it's not fair for us to compare against someone else. For when we look through our own selfish eyes, life will always not be fair. It will always look unfair to us when we look at it through our eyes. You know, that was what Jonah did. Jonah accused God, and he was angry with God and saying it was not fair. And we don't want to be like Jonah was, angry with God. Where will that get us? Angry with God. Now Jonah was forgiven, and he wanted God to forgive him. He knew he had run away from God, and he's in this bad situation. And we know the story when he swallowed in the fish, and he's there, and he says he's going to turn and look again to God and hope that God will forgive him. He wanted God to forgive him, but he did not want God to forgive those Ninevites. He did not want them to forgive those people of Nineveh. He got angry. Jonah was angry with God because he did not like the way God gave mercy to someone else. And we don't want to be like Jonah. In the last chapter of Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, we could read about Jonah's getting angry, and I'll read this here. It says, But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And what displeased Jonah exceedingly, we see from the previous chapter, said, and the Lord saw their works, that they were turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And then Jonah got angry. And said Jonah was displeased exceedingly. And he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my own country? Therefore I fled into Tarshish. For I know that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and a great kindness and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I pray thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? Does it do you any good to be angry? Are you doing right to be angry? But Jonah was angry with God. So angry with God, he said, I don't want to live because you're being kind to someone else and it's not fair. We don't want to be like Jonah. We can see how that was childish of Jonah. We can see that in someone else. But I need us to look into ourselves. When are we like this? Angry with God because it's not fair. He didn't think it was fair. But Jonah did not have the right to tell God what was fair. And that's what God goes on to try to show Jonah, that we don't have the right to tell God what is fair in this life. And another thing, the last thing that we see, read about Jonah, he's angrily sitting out in the hot sun and the harsh wind until he faints. Selfishness. And then brings on stubbornness until he fainted and he wished he was dead. This selfishness, always looking out for ourselves, does not bring us the happiness that we think it will. It does not make our lives happy. Being angry with God cannot bring peace in our life. And as we go on, we know that people are to be forgiven and that we are taught to forgive others. And Jesus taught us how that we are to forgive others even as we want ourselves to be forgiven. He taught that parable of the man who had forgave his servant. And once his servant was forgiven, he didn't go out and he didn't forgive another fellow servant that owed him some money. And Jesus says that as we want to be forgiven, that's how we should forgive. So we know that we're supposed to forgive those that do us wrong. Those that are wrong to us. The Bible calls it as trespassed against us. We're to forgive those people. And how are we able to do that? Because we realize that we are forgiven. We are forgiven, so we forgive. And that's the Christian attitude. So don't forget to forgive. Don't forget that forgiveness was shown toward you. Realize God's forgiveness towards us and hold that. Hold on to that and carry that with us. And that will give us a forgiven heart, which will give us a forgiving heart. And we will show that forgiveness to others. And when we do that, when we show forgiveness to others, it'll be different. And the world will notice that we're forgiven, that we're forgiving, and that we are different. And that will give us a position to show them to God. To show them why we are a forgiving people. Because we realize we need that forgiveness. And I want us to consider another way that we get angry with God because we don't think that life is fair. And let's consider what the Christian attitude should be. We know that Christians are to be kind and to be loving, and even to our enemies. If we're looking Luke chapter 6, we're to love even those that don't love us, and even our enemies. For Jesus said, "For if you love them that love you, what thank have ye?" But then in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be called the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, wherewithal it shall be measured unto you again." And so if we read this, we know that we're to love those that don't love us. Love even our enemies. But we're also to be kind and to be loving. And we see this, and if we see this, that we're to be kind and loving to others so that they'll be kind and loving back to us, then I think we've missed it. We may read this and see, oh, that we're kind and loving and we get a great reward. And it also talks about how that we will get good measure. And if we read this last part about men passing things back to us, and we only see that, oh, well, that's a good lesson, that if we're kind to others, be a friend first, that we can have a friend. And that's true. And while that's somewhat true, that we can change enemies into friends by being a friend first, there's more to it than that. If you look at it closely here at what he's saying, and you see that we're to be like God. And how was God? He gave to the unthankful. Those that were not thankful for the things that they got, he gave. and he gave to the evil. And he says that we are to do this hoping for nothing again. And that's how we'll get our reward, to be the children of God. To be like God. Be merciful because God is merciful. Not because it's going to get us something back. I'm looking at it in our own selfish manner. But be merciful because we want to be like God. And living well has its own reward. And we may hear that and think that by living well we make our life easy, but living well also gives us the peace, the reward of knowing that we did the right thing. Know that we did the godly thing. We followed after God. Now I want us to look at another place. In 1 Peter chapter 3, where we're taught about how that a Christian should live. And I want us to look at this and see how that we're to have this unselfish nature about us and why we're to have it and to get strength for this. We're taught in 1 Peter chapter 3 many things about the way that we're to conduct ourselves as Christians and to get along with one another and how to live our lives. But let's look in, starting with verse 8, where he says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." And this pitiful means tender heart. To have a tender heart, be tender hearted, to show pity to others. And that's how we're to live. And he goes on, this is how we're not to live. In verse 9 he says, "Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." He says, "For if we love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and let his lips that speak no guile. For he that love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." He goes on to say, "And let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So we see how that we're to be kind to one another. We're to be pitiful on one another. Be courteous to one another. We see what we're not to do is to render evil for evil, or railing for railing, getting back on someone. They get mad, we'll get them back. But contrarywise, be a blessing. And we want to look closely at this as to why we do this. Why are we kind to one another as Christians? Why are we pitiful and merciful to one another? We look at this next verse and we may say, well, it says that for he that loves life and wants to see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Well, that's what I want. I want to have a good life. Well, that's good. That's good to live peaceful and to seek for a good life. But there's more to it than that. And we may look at this next verse, at verse 13. It says, "For who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good?" And we may look at that and say, well, that's how to make my life peaceful. That's how for me to avoid harm in my life, is to follow what is good. But if you have the attitude, if that's the attitude that you have, that if you can do good and make the right decisions, then only good things will happen to you. And I think we're missing something more that we will see. We continue looking at it. But let's stop and consider this. It's easy for us to get that attitude. For these things are true. That if we're good and we do what's right, good things happen. Our experiences in our life teaches us this and lead us to think this way. Because I'm doing the right thing, then many good things will come back to us. Doing the right thing does make good things happen to us. It brings good results many times, but there's more to it than this. And we may also read of what this where he's talking about who will harm us if we're doing good and think that by doing good we'll avoid any harm. Peter wrote this, and also Paul wrote something similar. He says, whenever he talks about how that a Christian is going to follow the rules, a Christian is going to be lawful and do what's right and not be doing evil things. He says, for the rulers are not terrors to good works. This is from Romans chapter 13. I'll just read you these two verses here where Paul is talking. He says, for the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God unto thee. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil. You know, it's interesting that Peter and Paul could write these things about who will come to harm you, and about how that the rulers won't harm you for doing good. But yet we know that is a good principle. It's a good principle that a Christian should do good and not to be afraid. That's for sure. Christians are not to be afraid. Well, who can really harm us if we're following God? But we know that Paul and Peter were both killed for doing good. It's more to it than thinking that being a Christian is about following the law and then about enjoying the peaceful life of lawfulness. It's more to it than that. If we keep reading there in 1 Peter in chapter 3 where we are, we will see that we are called as Christians to even more. Look at verse 14. He says, And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Now what's he talking about, their terror? Be not afraid of their terror. I think he's talking about these people that he just mentioned previously. Verse 13, who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? And then we're not to be afraid of them and their terror and their trouble. For he's saying, we may suffer for righteousness, but be happy when it happens. That's the Christian attitude. First, we're lawful and we do what's right. We don't go out and suffer for doing what's wrong. And that brings its blessings. It avoids a lot of trouble and suffering. But, and if we do suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Happy? We're to be happy and we're not to be afraid of the troubles. We continue reading in verse 15. He says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. See, we'll be different in the world and it'll give us an opportunity to give an answer of the hope that's within us, the happiness that's within us. And goes on in verse 16, he says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as an evildoer, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Be happy when we suffer for evil-doing, is what he said. And that might be strange to us. It will be strange to the world. But that's the Christian attitude. Be happy when you suffer for doing good. How can we do that? How can we have that attitude? Well, as a Christian, we can have that attitude because we're not worried about the unfairness of life. We can even be happy about the unfairness of life. For we know as Christians that we get glory that we don't deserve. And we get such great glory that we don't deserve, that we don't worry about the punishment that we get that we don't deserve. That was a lesson Dad would teach us as the kids. Sometimes we would get in trouble and Dad would come in. He wasn't always so much for sorting out who did the trouble. He came in and he spanked us all, and hey, later you'd tell him, Dad, I wasn't in on that. I didn't deserve that punishment. And he'd say, I'm sure you deserve a spanking anyhow. You've done some other things you needed, whether you needed it for that one or not. And you know, as Christians, it's this way. We know we've gotten away from other punishments that were much worse than what we get. We know that we can't say, I didn't deserve any kind of punishment. It was that way as a kid too. It was that way as a child. It was that way as a Christian in our walk with God. We can't say we didn't deserve punishment. We deserve more than what we got. How can we complain about what we got? Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8. He says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." The things that we suffer now wrongfully are not worthy to be compared with the glory that we will get and that we didn't deserve. And when we allow ourselves to suffer for good, for doing wrong, when we allow ourselves to suffer for doing what's right, and we don't complain, and we don't complain against the unfairness of life, and say life is unfair, and we don't get angry with God, then that glorifies God. And it also creates an opportunity for us to teach the world. If you look back through the story, that's not man's nature. If you look back through the Bible, you'll see that after eating of that fruit, of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then we'll see that men from that point on are going to get angry with God and say it's not fair. And that'll be different to the world. When we're willing to suffer for things when it may not seem like we deserve them. And I think that's the cure for selfishness, is to realize how good God is to us. When we realize the times that we're glad that God is not fair with us, we won't be so apt to complain and to cry when life is not fair. And let's continue reading here. We'll see this right where we left off there in 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at the unfairness here. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, and being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." So that's what Peter comes to here. He's telling us how that we can do this, how that we can suffer when we didn't deserve it. And we can take punishment that we didn't think that we earned. Christ did it. And it was unfair, as we would call it. The just suffering for the unjust, for that unfairness, will be eternally grateful as Christians. Eternally grateful for the unfairness. And that gratefulness will keep us from complaining about unfair things. Isaiah 53, speaking about Jesus and prophesying about Him, put it this way. He said, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." It was our iniquity that He took. He took our punishment for us. And we get glory for it. Thanks be to God that it's not fair. So don't complain about the unfairness of life. And don't be envious about the blessings that we see others get. And don't be complainers and jealous. And we can judge for ourselves, and we need to keep this in mind as Christians, that we have that right attitude towards others when they get their blessings and their forgiveness, that we're not jealous. And that's our sermon this morning. I hope from this we can grow as Christians and be a better light to the world around us, to be an example, to give us an opportunity to speak of Christ and of His mercy. We want to extend an invitation time, an invitation to come and to request the prayers of the church for strengthening, or if we have any that need to request for baptism, we'll extend this opportunity while we stand and sing.